Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We're online all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. This is the part of the show where you might feel a little bit like your privacy has been invaded because we kind of get inside your head. We figure out what you've been reading, what you've been emailing to your friends.
We give out Ian's social security number over the air.
We do that too. Yeah. We do that too.
It's fun.
And we do it in a little segment that we like to call The Most. And I will be getting The Most with a very serious story, but it's very interesting. This is a story about, let's just put it out there. The Rwandan genocide. Some people will remember, back in the mid-90s, big genocide in Rwanda, 800,000 to a million people were killed. Now, what does that have to do with Macy's? Something. It does, actually. In Macy's, they are now selling these peace baskets that survivors of the genocide are weaving together to draw attention to the reconciliation process in Rwanda, and the baskets are selling at Macy's stores around the U.S., and they're getting a lot of great praise. And in Rwanda, this whole program is being celebrated as a way to bring people together who were once perpetrators of the violence during the genocide and the victims. The people who become master weavers through this program are talking about how the weaving itself is bringing people together, Hutu and Tutsi, people who were once very much on opposite sides of that conflict. And the article goes on, basically the whole Macy's peg is a reason to talk about where Rwanda is today. The article says that Rwanda has come a long way. It's one of the fastest economic growth rates in that part of Africa, one of the lowest crime rates and lowest rates of HIV/AIDS. About a third of Rwanda's cabinet are female ministers. 48% of parliamentarians are women as well. So that's your little primer on where Rwanda is today. So let's move on to...
You want to go almost a 180, a 179?
Let's go a 179 degrees.
Right. I got one.
To Mike Pesca. We turn from genocide.
We turn now to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who covers their local business, the Miller Brewing Company. And Miller is introducing a 64-calorie beer. As light as it gets is the slogan. It is the fewest calories of any beer sold in the United States, the company says. By comparison, Miller Genuine Draft has 143 calories. Genuine Draft Light has 110 calories. And this 64-calorie beer has been selling well locally. They're going to bust it out nationally. And NPR's, I don't know if it was Celeste Headlee or Jerome Sokolovsky, was there during the brewing process. And they have this clip as the beer was being brewed. Let's hear it.
Well, go ahead. Water it down some more.
My God, man. I watered it down as far as she'll go. I cannot water no more.
That is actual tape.
That is tape. That is actual
yes.
tape. And
yes.
Jerome Sokolovsky.
How did she get that
by.
Interview with Groundskeeper Willie?
It was not well mic'd, but the Scottish brewmaster. He feels a little bad that it's only 64 calories, but he can't water it down no more. All right.
It sounds delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No negatives. Oh, Lord. Okay. Ian, what do you have?
I have a story from, it's the most shared on Philly.com, which is the Philly Daily News. What's that?
Shared? Is shared the word they use?
They
don't say email?
So
yeah,
nice.
It encompasses email. You can hug someone a story. That's
can they
way
track if you
story.
Call somebody and like, I want to share something
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, you just tell, retell
the Philly
story.
The Philly Daily News is always watching you.
Or like...
If you even think about a story, it goes into this.
Even clipped in an FTD pick-me-up bouquet. Yeah.
A story, Graham.
Yeah.
Let's actually talk about the story.
What is it?
This guy, this postal worker in the Moton, Pennsylvania post office, got a package from Taiwan. It was marked toys and jellies. That's how it was labeled.
Yeah.
He heard scratching and crawling inside. Immediately called U.S. Customs and Border Protection. They opened it up.
Border Protection? How far inland is this town in Pennsylvania, I wonder? But go ahead.
They opened it up, found 26 freakishly large beetles. Now, to get a sense of how freakishly large,
yeah.
You know how when they're showing you in a photograph, trying to show you by comparison how big something is,
and
they'll
they
put a quarter
put,
next
oh,
to
yeah,
it?
Yeah, a coin, right.
They put a dollar bill next to this thing, and it compares pretty well. It's they say the size of a child's hand.
Oh.
It's unclear what the Hercules, rhinoceros, and Goliath beetles were doing in Berks County, Pennsylvania. It is illegal to ship, those of you thinking about it, it's illegal to ship live beetles in the United States without a permit from the Department of Agriculture.
So if they had just applied for the permit, they could ship beetles the size of child's hands.
Yeah, or even children. No, once you get the permit, the size of the beetle no longer matters.
Because there are beetles that, you know, kill trees and stuff.
These are agriculturally dangerous.
As our children's hands. They get into all sorts of messes. Tricia, what do you have?
I have the most emailed story on USA Today, and I'm going to start with a mood-setting piece of music. Right. Hit it, Manoli.
Nice.
Everyone's rocking out here in the studio. Manoli is such a closeted rocker. Not so closeted.
Okay, well, we can start dipping that down. So that's basically the song. It's Led Zeppelin, Whole Lot of Love. You're going to hear that as you ride a roller coaster at this new Hard Rock theme park that's opening up in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They're in their pre-opening phase. They're calling it their sound check. But it opens for real in early June. And it's a $400 million park. And it's... the big centerpiece of it is a 70-foot replica of a Les Paul guitar on the side of a lake. They've got all kinds of rides.
Sounds awesome.
It's all to music, but I think the best part, if anybody goes to this, is going to be the nightly fireworks show, which is choreographed to this song. And let's just play this.
How will this sound?
Mamma mia, mamma mia. Mamma mia, let me go.
This is going to be a great fireworks display.
Sure, Matt.
Here come the colors.
Here comes.
Here comes.
Here comes.
Here we go.
Matt's an expert.
Finale.
Blue. Red. Blue, red, blue, red, blue, yellow, orange, red.
Wait, we gotta be everyone else. Oh. Ah.
I love it.
Fantastic.
I would totally go to this fireworks show.
Who needs TV?
The only thing that might be bad about the Hard Rock Cafe is, the Hard Rock
the
theme
fingers?
Park is,
oh,
like,
sorry,
you'd actually be kind of hanging out at a theme park with lots of people who like hard rock. That's all I'm going to say.
How dare
Trisha?
You?
I know, they're my people.
There we go. Matt, do you have a friend,
yes,
perhaps?
Yes, actually, you know, I was Googling last night, as I'm wanting to do, and the... two words showed up, a proper name, Neville Chamberlain.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, why is that popping up? And then I turned on the TV, and I did some related searches, and it turns out it all started with the word appeasement. This will all become clear. President Bush, speaking to the Israeli Knesset yesterday, used the word appeasement when talking about those who may be campaigning for a certain office, wanting to talk with the leader of Iran. So let's hear what Bush said.
We've heard this foolish delusion before. As Nazi tanks crossed into Poland in 1939, an American senator declared, "Lord, if I could only have talked to Hitler, all this might have been avoided." We have an obligation to call this what it is, the false comfort of appeasement.
All right, so the false comfort of appeasement. Chris Matthews had a panel on last night to talk about the president's speech before the Knesset, and he had on a conservative radio host from Los Angeles. He is a host on KRLA in Los Angeles. His name is Kevin James. And
oh, the King of Queens.
Yes.
Should we say Chris Matthews of MSNBC?
Chris Matthews of MSNBC. Right.
Of Chris Matthews.
Right. You know,
just in case.
Being a big loud
just in case people have been under
exactly.
a bubble.
Under a big giant bubble. And so they start talking about this with this fellow, Kevin James.
Okay,
and
let's hear his insight and analysis. That's what I want to hear.
Yes. This is a little bit of brilliance right here.
He attacked those who would imitate Senator William Boer of Idaho, who was a Republican isolationist back in the late 30s, who supported whatever, some notion of getting along with Hitler better. Let me ask you, what did Chamberlain do wrong, Neville Chamberlain do wrong in 1939? What did he do wrong?
It all goes back to appeasement.
No, what did he do? Tell me what he did.
It's the key term.
You have to answer this question. What did he do?
It's the same thing. It puts it all...
Well, tell me what he did.
Talking about appeasement.
What did Chamberlain do wrong?
Neville Chamberlain was an appeaser, Chris.
What right. did
Neville
he do?
Chamberlain, Neville Chamberlain was an appeaser, all right?
What did he do?
I'll take Neville appeasement Chamberlain, for 400.
His policies, the things that Neville Chamberlain supported,
just
all right,
tell
energized,
me what he did.
Legitimized, and
And the problem is you don't understand there's a difference between talking to the enemy and appeasing. What Neville Chamberlain did wrong, most people would say, is not talking to Hitler, but giving him half of Czechoslovakia in 38. That's what he did wrong. Not but talking
the,
to somebody.
Chris,
appeasement
the problem,
is giving away things
there's
to
a
the
difference,
enemy.
But Chris, don't know there's a difference
I
between...
I gotta go to somebody who knows some history.
Oh, man.
It's a
it's
good
painful
moment.
Painful and delicious.
So a little bit of appeasement this morning for you. Right here on the BPP.
And it is our vow to you that if we have someone on the show, we won't beat them up for what they don't know. But we'll also try to get someone who knows something on the show.
Brilliant.
But if we do, we'll just yell at them about the verb appeasement.
Why exactly. are you yelling?
Define appeasement!
Hey folks, that's your most. For links to all these stories, go to our website, npr.org/Bryant Park.